Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the Titans in Minnesota this week for joint practices with the Vikings. They'll take on Minnesota on Saturday night in the second preseason game. So looking forward to all that. Going to see a whole lot of Malik Willis and Will Levis, I'm sure, in the game coming up on Saturday. So we'll talk ad nauseum about that on Monday and evaluate the quarterbacks. But as we sit here today on this Wednesday leading into the joint practices this week for the Titans, after preseason game number one, who are the Titans that you think have the most to prove? The Titans may be facing the most urgency heading into this week as we start to get closer to roster cutdown day and the Titans in their second preseason game with Minnesota.
Well, both of these kickers, to me, you have to start there.
Yep.
Like those guys, it just wasn't good enough in Chicago. And you can do all the kicking in practice you want. It matters. It counts. It's evaluated. But it's just you just can't replicate what it is to be in a game with the other team actually coming after you and people watching you, you know, Corey Curtis waiting to, you know, to interview you on the sideline, you know, all the things. And it just didn't look good. You know, Shudak is barely good from 41, pushes it. Wolf misses from 48. And I think both of those, they're in a competition, but I would say individually separate yourself from the competition and consider yourself fighting to still be in a competition because, I mean, I think the Titans, if it's not going to look better with those guys in real games, then I think the Titans have to start looking at the veteran carousel. So I start with them.
Yeah, I was not impressed on Saturday. And look, you know, Shudak, you brought it up. He made the kick, but it was a little too close for comfort. And then Wolf obviously missing the kick. Like you only get a certain amount of time and a certain amount of chances in game situations in the preseason. And unfortunately, at that position, you're judged based on a handful of kicks in the preseason. Sometimes that's the difference in you having an NFL career and you not having an NFL career. But it's got to be better than what it was on Saturday. No question about that.
Yeah. So those guys, really critical. Now, an interesting situation of someone who right now I think is clearly losing a battle. And I'm not totally clear on what's going on with Monty Rice. But I think it was 7 snaps in that game.
Yep.
And then Shane Bowen was asked this week about why, and he basically gave like a, well, you know, we evaluate things and the things happen and the players go in and then, yeah, like zero answer specifically about Monty Rice. Now, also, I think there may be some kind of injury at play with him. But regardless, I mean, I talked to him, you know, last week, and he's not happy. I mean, like, he was very unhappy to be asked about it. And, you know, he's clearly frustrated with what's going on there with Jack Gibbons leading him. I mean, but if he's good to go, to me, it's like Monty Rice. I mean, you got to start showing something. You got to start, you know, playing better and making and distinguishing yourself, you know, some ways. I mean, right now, Gibbons, the only, I guess, technical starter who played in the game. But I would also look at a guy like Elijah Molden, I guess kind of urgency in a different way. You know, he didn't play a ton in that game. He's going to be a factor. But I still think it's important for him to, like, play some good football and make some plays and get a little confidence. It's just he's missed so much. And, you know, the Titans need – I mean, they need at least quality depth. Like, Mike Brown, I think, is kind of stepping up a little bit at safety. But I think it's important for Molden this week and in the game, whatever opportunity he gets to more for himself to get some things done.
What do you think we are at this point in the camp for the battle at wide receiver? Because we've talked about the 5 guys that we feel like are locks at wide receiver, and that would be Burks, Hopkins, Phillips, Chris Moore, and obviously NWI. Where do you think we are in terms of the battle for number 6 right now at wide receiver?
Now, I called this shot when you were gone.
Okay.
Did you see the called shot I had?
I didn't.
I can't believe that you're more concerned tending to your daughter than listening to our called shots.
I did miss call your shot Friday.
Sorry. Yeah, so I called the shot that NWI doesn't make the team.
Okay.
Now, I said up front,
we've gone a long way from NWI number two wide receiver.
Yes, exactly. Now, I said up front, and maybe this is kind of weak to call a shot and immediately say I don't think this is actually going to happen, but I'm just calling the shot. But I will tell you, he has dropped so many passes in camp. It's
not
it's
good.
Wild. Yeah, and it looks like his first camp. And
I'd say it's not the first time that's happened for him in camp.
Right, like that first camp, we're all like, oh, well, thanks for playing, rookie. But that's the thing, you know, you distinguish yourself on special teams, and then all of a sudden, then you start playing better, and look what can happen. So I'll count him with you, but I'll say, like, he needs to play better. And then it gets interesting. I have been drifting off my other favorite receiver, Racy McMath, but I mean, I think in the kicking game he could be essential. And also, he looked, you know, decent in the preseason game at receiver. I mean, you can see some of the talent there. I can't discount him. It's so much about what they want there, always keeping special teams in mind. But what they want there, I mean, Reggie Robertson is a little guy, but he's a fast guy, and he's been making plays all over the place, you know, in practice. You know, you saw some of the other guys. Well, obviously, like Gavin Holmes. You know, like Gavin Holmes is not a guy that to me is a contender to make the team, but he's out there. And
Kyrus Jackson.
Yeah, like Kyrus Jackson. To me, the only way, because I think one thing we found out in that game is that, you know, Kyle Phillips is going to get another chance.
Yeah.
And I think he should. I think Kyle Phillips should get another chance to return punts because he can be dynamic. He saw it. It wasn't like an amazing punt return, but you saw that he and like Craig Aukerman said, you know, got to catch the ball first. But with that in mind, I just don't see how Kyrus Jackson really has a path to make the team. I think he's a very strong practice squad candidate. Colton Dowell, you know, probably practice squad. Trishon Harrison has been a guy who has made a lot of plays in camp. But I don't know. I have a hard time. I think you probably look at McMath, Robertson, and Dowell, I think.
Yep.
And maybe you keep five.
They could. That's the thing. Like we're assuming they keep six. They may not.
Yeah. But probably from a special teams perspective, they do keep six. And I guess at this point, maybe I bounce back to – that's the thing. I don't know with Colton Dowell. I know that he is very focused on making a difference in special teams. And he, at least on one rep the other day, looked good. I think got a tackle. So you got to have more of that. I mean, that's where the battle is.
Yeah, no question about that. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, get Aukerman out of here. Job security at its peak, if you know Vrabel. It's from Jared from Spring Hill. Sure, that's not different, Jared, on the text line.
Yeah, Ms. Jared, is that our Jared? The Jared from Z? You know, here's the thing. I've said this before, but like and maybe it's a wrong way to look at it because we give quarterback coaches credit. I will never ever see an amazing kicker in the NFL and say, "Boy, that special teams coach, you did great work with him, just fantastic work." And this, and by the same token, if these kickers are going to miss those kicks and the operation's fine, I don't care. Like, Craig Aukerman is – whatever. What did he do? I understand. Like, our Jared, will – he'll be like, oh, and then you have this kick that was missed. And, you know, it's like, well, okay. I mean, I think the special team coach is judged on returns and coverage. That's my opinion. And it, not saying it's great, but also the most over-interviewed and over-wanting-to-be-fired sports figure in Nashville. Right now,
Craig Aukerman. He's taking the mantle from Todd Downing.
Yeah, well, Todd's gone.
I know.
He's off to New York where they'll just love him.
Is he the quarterback whisperer of Zach Wilson, Todd Downing?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. There's one guy in particular that I think this is a pretty gigantic week for with the Titans that we'll get into coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Which Titans have the most to prove? Who needs to have the most urgency for the Titans this week as they travel to Minnesota? More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
How do you think that they should approach the quarterback position against the Vikings this weekend?
I think they should do the same thing. Honestly, I asked Mike Vrabel if that was something that a lot of teams do, and naturally, you know, he went towards the, well, it worked for us, and that's what we did.
Classic.
But It's not something that you see a whole lot, especially for a whole game. So that was interesting to me. I think they should continue to do it, and that will allow both guys to get time with the better units, right? You know, first team, second team, et cetera. So that'll help as well to try to balance it out. So I think 100% they need to continue to do it that way.
That was Teron Davenport on the quarterbacks and how the Titans deployed them in game one of the preseason. 615-737-1025, our phone number, taking your thoughts on the Titans as well. Make sure you join 1025 The Game and us here on Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting from 6 to 9 for two Duncan Grand openings here in Middle Tennessee. Friday, we'll be out at 350 Highway 190 South in Lebanon, and next Monday out at 206 Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. Come out for coffee, food, and great opportunities to win prizes. So looking forward to that here coming up on Friday and next Monday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, there's one player in particular, and it's not going to be a big surprise, but this week, both from a health standpoint and on the field performance standpoint, that I think it's pretty big for, and that's Hassan Haskins at running back. Now, he missed practice on Monday. We'll see what that looks like from a health standpoint this week. Obviously, the Titans went out and signed a running back, so with him and Jonathan Ward kind of banged up, had to make some additions to the running back room. Joe, in the preseason game, and I know it was preseason and the backups were in at that point, I was, again, pretty impressed with Julius Chestnut and what he did out there on Saturday. Obviously, you know, Tyjae Spears, I thought, had a couple of explosive plays in the game. I'm really fascinated to see how they use him moving forward. So I think your 1-2 is pretty much set. Like, it's going to be Derrick Henry with the lion's share of the carries, and I'm interested to see how they use Tyjae Spears as the number two running back. Is Chestnut going to be the 3? Can Haskins carve out a spot for him at number 3? Obviously, there's the legal stuff going on with Haskins as well, but just purely on the field at running back right now, that third spot at running back, who's that going to end up being? I think a big thing to watch is camp continues here. And I don't know that we're going to totally figure that out this week, but over the next couple weeks here in the preseason, figuring out who that third running back is going to be. Obviously, special teams is going to have to be a big part of that too. And, you know, Haskins did return a kick the other day, and it's just like, eh. I don't think that's a good spot for it.
Yeah. I think Spears probably is that guy. Yep. And Spears is, yeah, definitely RB2. Now, if you look at it like a backup for both spots, then it would be Derrick Henry. And then the real backup for his role would be either Haskins or Chestnut.
Yep.
And then on the other side, you got Spears as your third down back. Now, again, I think Spears is a third down back and also most likely to get a carry other than Derek. But if you look at it that way, then who's his backup? I think it would have been Jonathan Ward. Now, so I think the signing is a reflection of the Ward injury. And that may not bode well, you know, for him. I think he's had a really nice camp. He's a nice player. So, I don't know. Does that make it more likely that they go with, like, two, you know, bangers after Henry and then just have Spears? I'd be kind of surprised by that. It feels like you need to have another, like, third down back type behind him. I'm with you. I thought Chestnut had some good moments. I've been, like, this camp has kind of eased me off my pre-camp 53, which I had Chestnut making it, Haskins not making it. Some of that is related to Haskins' legal situation. But I also am still – I'm whelmed at most by Haskins running the ball, if not underwhelmed. I'm certainly not overwhelmed, but I'm
He did
whelmed.
Have a touchdown.
He did have a touchdown. I mean, he's fine. You know, I just it comes down to a lot of it is – so Haskins as a special teams player on the variety of units, he's an asset there. Chestnut played one special teams. We had this conversation the other day. He had one snap on special teams, but he's considered a core guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was just because – I'm assuming it was just because they were like, let's see some of these other guys. But if he's a core guy, then I think he's making the team. So, right. Again, is this another one of those where it comes down to the kicking game stuff, which I know is not the most exciting thing for fans to, like, try to track guys on kick coverage and punt coverage and kickoff return. But that stuff – matters, you know, special teams does matter to the Titans, even though it has been great. Real quick, LD says, to counter my point on Aukerman, he says, why do these kickers that struggle with the Titans go elsewhere and become better? Is that coaching? We saw Cairo Santos for the Bears the other day. He's making field goals. I'm like, boy, This could be Titans kicker Cairo Santos.
Yeah.
I did Aukerman like get in his head that day when he missed four field goals against the Bills? I mean, you knew he was getting fired after that, right? Was that Aukerman's fault? I don't know. I don't know. But that's a guy who should be their kicker, and he's just not. He had a terrible day.
Does it bother you that it feels like we're in this city? And I know it's one game. It's 1 week. So, look, Wolf and Shudak both could come out there this week and look great, and maybe we're not talking about it. But does it bother you that here we are again with the Titans and we're still questioning kicker? Like, it feels like that's just been such a consistent theme with this franchise for 5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it just goes back to – did I say Tyjae Sharp? Did I say Sharp?
No, the Andrew on the text line wrote down Sharp.
Oh.
You didn't say it. Okay. Although they said – I think they said – I was watching the broadcast Saturday. They said Tyjae Sharp, I think, three times.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
It's just – it's such a – it's tough. Okay, now that just lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Kickers and the Titans' inability to find one.
Yeah. Go back to rushing suck-up back. Yeah. If that doesn't happen, then he's still the kicker, right?
Or at least has been.
Or at least has been up till now.
Right.
Cairo Santos. I mean, I think Santos is the only guy who's really been excellent since leaving, right? Like, LD, there are other guys who got jobs, but I think Santos is the only real standout, right?
I believe so.
Double doink, okay, but...
Yeah.
But, no, it's just... And look, I think what they're doing makes sense. You know, you try to get a competition, two young guys with some potential... I mean, Trey Wolf, talking to him last week, I mean, that, you know, he didn't even think he was even going to try out for the NFL. And he's in construction after college, and he had a good senior year, but he's like, maybe I'd like to try to kick some footballs. And so it's a great story that he's where he is, but, I mean, is that the guy, is that the future of the Titans kicking? You know, I don't know. I think Shudak has been kind of designated as that guy, and I think right now I would put him ahead of Wolf. But is he going to be good enough? I mean, that's why, to me, like, this game and the next two games and all this time, so huge for him. Because they are going to have to pivot. And if they pivot, then you just get back into the same stuff. Like, do you need to use a draft pick on a kicker at some point? I don't know. Yeah, you could make that case. But look at drafted kickers. I mean, a lot of the drafted kickers don't pan out. It's so hard. I mean, Jake Moody's a huge investment, and there's a little shakiness there right now in the preseason game. So, yeah, they need it to break their way and one of these guys to just take off. But right now, that first preseason game is not bode well.
Well, what if it's the same this week? What if you get through this week and both of them are struggling again and either they both miss a kick in the preseason game or they don't have a great week at practice? Like, what do you do at that point if you're the Titans? Like, I guess, how much of a rope do you give these guys before you have to look at a different option? Because that's the thing. I say look at a different option. Like, Mason Crosby's out there.
So is he with the Browns or is he actually out there?
I think he's out there. He does not have a contract according to what I'm looking at right now.
Okay. Okay. Because I saw something yesterday when I Googled him, and who knows? It could have been from like, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Randy,
Crosby.
Randy's still out there.
Hold it. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, right now, they will not do that. And you have to try to get better than that.
Agreed.
But, I mean, he was at least – he kind of stabilized it for a little bit. So you're talking about 17th season here for Mason Crosby if he plays. As you know, Mason Crosby.
He's been a very good kicker.
Has been.
Losing the fastball
has
a little bit.
Has been, right. And he's, what is he, 38? So,
yeah.
But I guess he'd be. And maybe it's like, because what, when they got Gostkowski, I'm trying to remember who, that was that like Ficken? Was that Ficken and those guys?
I think it was,
and all of a sudden they just bring in Gostkowski. No, you could bring in Crosby and the better of these two stay, you know, you just basically replace the other guy with him and compete from there. But I think you have to do something after this game, if it doesn't work out.
I mean, I will say at least Shudak made his. but it didn't look good.
Yeah.
but it went through the uprights.
Got it through.
It's
Jared would have put the odds up.
That's right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Looking ahead to joint practices this week with Minnesota. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Joe Rexroad's beloved Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure.
I love it when they suck like this. Right, Ryan from Chicago?
Whoopty hell.
615-737-1025, our phone number. By the way, we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. A lot of thoughts on the kicker position. I think Titans fans are fed up with the kicking being a problem for this team.
Yeah, this is not the right team to have kicking be a problem for. It's not what you need with this team.
I was telling you in the break, like I wasn't overly impressed with Stonehouse punting the ball in the game.
You weren't alone. I'm reading this Joe Milton story that Nick Baumgartner wrote The Athletic, and I'm like, you know, it's like Joe Milton. It's great to be able to just, you know, nuclear send the ball into orbit, but you also want to put it where you want to put it. Wes and Clarksville asked if any Nashville SC players want to come kick for the Titans.
Well, maybe so.
Think Messi, could they lure Messi away? Messi. He's coming into town this weekend.
When your season's done. Or maybe just doing both. Soccer during the week.
I wonder how messy it would be.
Kicking on Sundays.
As a place kicker.
I don't know.
It's usually like goalies are, like, right? There are a lot of goalies that kind of transition to that. Yeah. But I don't know, man. They need to figure something out.
They do.
Quickly. But so your pack, in theory, just because it's familiar for him, if their young kicker doesn't work out.
Crosby could go back.
A lot of people are saying that maybe Crosby could go back there.
Maybe. I mean, they've got a younger guy that they're trying that – did miss two extra points in their preseason game, which is not good.
I mean, at least these guys made their extra points here.
It's true.
I mean, Wolf did make an extra point, and so did Shudak.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers young kid, whose name escapes me right now, hit his field goal, but did miss two extra points, which you can't have. Mm. So maybe Crosby goes back there. It's just a long – I mean, suck-ups out there, it's a long way to say there's not a lot of great options out there, which if there were, I'm sure the Titans would have probably looked at that by now.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I'm trying to think, you know, we talk about this organization's history. It doesn't really relate to now, but you talk about, like, the receiver history, yeah, right? Or, you know, the best quarterbacking they've had over time. They've had some great players at different positions. I mean, they've had some great kickers.
They have. Know?
I mean, you think, I mean, Anderson and Baronis here,
yeah,
you know. And I'm trying to think.
Del Greco back in the day.
Del Greco, but Baronis was an example of discovering someone. That's, yep, you know, that's what you're trying to do. So I don't know. I mean, I think with Shudak, I do feel like there's a little bit extra. I think he's more consistent and reliable. He is kind of like with Bullock. Like, I don't know that Shudak, you feel comfortable in a game with like a 55 yarder, and you'd really like to be able to line up for a 55 yarder and feel like
the NFL.
Make it.
Yeah, like you got to get to a point where. And especially with this team, like, even though they've got Hopkins, and I think their offense certainly should be better than what we were talking about this time 2 months ago, where it just looked like a barren wasteland out there, you're still going to have, like, nobody's going to confuse the Titans for the greatest show on turf this year, I don't think. So you're still going to have a lot of games that come down to whether or not you can make your kicks, right? Like, it comes down to other stuff throughout the course of the game, but you need to have a reliable kicker back there. And if you don't, I mean, that could be the difference in two games, three games.
Sure.
Who knows?
I mean, it was a difference at least in two last year.
Yeah.
So what if that's the division.
Yeah, absolutely.
Year, period.
What about the offensive line? The first unit comes out on Saturday, and they play really well. They go right up and down the field, and that was it for the starting offensive line. So there's, you know, I don't know how much you take away from that. Chicago did have starters in there on the defensive side of the ball, so I think it's good. It's a confidence boost for the Titans' offensive line, all those things. But as they've gone through camp here, do you feel better about the offensive line if you're a Titans fan? That was obviously a huge concern heading into camp. There were reports early in camp, and Joe, you saw it, of, you know, Harold Landry and specifically Arden Key winning left and right with their pass rush sets, The pads have come on now in camp. So at this point, as we head into preseason week two, how are we feeling about the offensive line? How much stock do you put into their performance on Saturday against the Bears?
I put some stock. I think the Bears had, I think they had seven starters.
They did.
And I put some stock into it, but it's one series. I think the guy obviously is Andre Dillard. I mean, he's the focus as a left tackle. And the thing about Andre Dillard is, yes, Arden Key has worn him out a fair amount here. But it's not like he's had no good reps. In fact, he's had a couple, I think, excellent reps against Harold Landry, for example. So it's not like it's hopeless or anything. It's just when you put it all together, that is a focal point. But just overall, the one's defense has kind of been kicking the butt of the one's offensive line. I think the one thing you saw on that drive, Skoronski, and Vrabel mentioned this too, but like I know on one running play in particular, Skoronski and Dillard together got a lot of push on one play. And that's one thing, the interior of the offensive line from a run-blocking perspective, they have been able to get some stuff done against the one's defense. I was talking about that a couple weeks ago, and we saw it play out in this game. So it's not all hopeless at all. It's still the biggest question, and one series is not going to, you know, change everything. But it's a confidence builder. So huge week on that for me. Danielle Hunter is a big-time player. You know, the Vikings, to me, it's like these joint practices. You look at who are their stars who are just like a matchup problem for anybody. You know, Justin Jefferson, obviously. I mean, Danielle Hunter, you know. I mean, those are opportunities for their tackles and for their corners, you know, to get some really good work and see how they match up. But it was a good step. It was a step in the right direction. I mean, I think they probably play more than one series if they go three and out, you know.
Yeah.
But they had one. They scored, and it's like, okay, you know, hit the showers.
I still would have liked to have seen them play more, and I get why they didn't.
I don't disagree.
I get why they didn't, and, you know, you don't want to get anybody hurt in a preseason game, so I understand all that. I still, based on just how new it is and you're trying to build that chemistry, I would have liked to have seen them, and I don't know how much more, maybe another series or two, but I would have liked to have seen them play a little bit more than they did Saturday. And I realize it went to plan, and they looked great on that first drive, and you went right up and down the field and scored a touchdown, so that's great. I still would have liked to have seen them play a little bit more than they did.
Yeah, and maybe is this game – Vrabel has not looked at it this way since they switched, but in theory, some coaches approach the second preseason game like it was what the third used to be, which is more of the dress rehearsal game. So, now, is it possible that they get more work in this game? I'm with you. I think, like, the more work you can get with those guys against different kinds of opponents and – even if it's some backups and stuff like that, I think the better timing, chemistry. You know, they're going to be just as prone to injury this week as offensive linemen going up against the ones as they would be in this game. So why not do the game thing for a little bit more?
Well, the one thing I'll say, they gave up as a line as a whole, and obviously this was all backups at this point, but they gave up 8 sacks on Saturday. I do think, and I haven't gone back and watched every single one of them, but just in live time, I remember thinking on at least 4 or 5 of them, man, you got to get rid of the ball. Like if you're Will Levis or Malik Willis, there's a lot of holding on to the ball a little bit too long on Saturday, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree. I had it kind of like 4 and 4, you know, about 4 of them where it's like, yeah, you got to feel that a little bit better and you just got to get rid of it. And then 4 where there's just no chance. Yeah, I know, like, Vrabel got asked, like, whatever. Like, who's to blame for the sacks? You know, he's like, blame everyone. But, I mean, he kind of blew off that, and he blew off the screens for touchdowns because, like, I mean, it comes down to it. He's not going to say this, but, like, those guys are not going to be on the field.
Right.
And now, granted, you want some backups of the offensive line you can trust. I like, Jalen Duncan, the rookie, I mean, that, to me, that's, like, a good rookie experience. You kind of get your butt kicked a little bit. I mean, I think he could still be a good player for them. I mean, you got Rupsich in there and, you know, some guys that you don't want to see the field this year. So I don't put too much into that. I mean, you'd much rather have your backups get crushed, but your starters have a touchdown drive than the other way around.
Well, and it would be great if you're, especially in the joint practices this week, if the Titans offensive line has some good reps against Minnesota. Because, I mean, I think you're going to find out probably a little bit more about the line and where they are this week in that than you are in the preseason game coming up on Saturday. I don't know what the plan is and how much the starting offensive line is going to play, on Saturday against Minnesota. But to your point, Danielle Hunter is out there. And you look, Minnesota, they don't have the greatest pass rush or the greatest front seven this year on defense, but you can get some good looks. And I think more than anything, I thought it was important Saturday, even though I would have liked to have seen them play more. Confidence for an offensive line is big, and hopefully they can start to build on that. By the time week one comes around, you're feeling a little bit better if you're, you know, a Titans fan, but certainly a member of that offensive line about what you can get done out there.
Yeah, another thing with the Vikings is, you know, Brian Flores and his D coordinator. So, yep. You know, like we had Kevin Seifert on this week talking about, you know, one thing that they're excited about in Minnesota is he's the exotic blitz guy. So I don't know if that plays out in the game. Does he show a bunch of that stuff in, like, the preseason game, regardless of who's out there? I mean, that's good work for an offensive line and for young quarterbacks to see it and then, you know, hit your hot reads and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure Vrabel wouldn't mind a little bit of that from Flores in this game.
Think we see any Chig this week in the preseason, or has he reached the veteran sit-out untouchable status?
Yeah, I thought he'd be the one guy that maybe we would, but I guess I wouldn't expect it to change, right? Like, anybody, I guess I'm not expecting anybody who didn't dress in the opener to dress now. So, basically, Vrabel's saying, feel good about the skill guys, feel good about the whole defense. Offensive line, suit up.
Suit up, buddy. Yeah. Get out there. Maybe that changes this week. Maybe he saw enough in that first game, and maybe some joint practices this week where they don't play. Yeah, I wouldn't love that.
Yeah. They let's keep show it again. Show it again. And kickers, yeah, you got to suit up right now. Get ready for the game right now. Get your game face on a Wednesday.
So is it going to be Hubbard at right tackle, do we think? Is that going to be week one, what the Titans lineup doing?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. You know, I'm trying to – I'm always bad with this guy's name, and I don't want to botch it, but Ojukwu, I think, is right. He was a guy who was in there competing. Murray, at this point, appears to be an interior guy.
Yep.
So I think it's Hubbard, and for better or for worse, Hubbard, and then Petit Frere after that. By the way, Petit Frere didn't exactly look great.
He did not.
You know, his run in Chicago.
It was interesting him getting some work when he got in the game.
Yeah.
Like, here you go.
Got to play, man.
I know.
Got to play some football. So I'd look for him to get into this game and try to play better. I mean, they're counting on him to be a clear upgrade over Hubbard when he comes back.
Yeah, and it didn't look great the other day. And, you know, look, that's – if he didn't get suspended, we'd be talking about that right now anyway, of how much better has he gotten from year one to year two. And
right.
Got to find him some reps along the way somewhere. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. We are your race and station. 1025-1063 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday for the Go Bowling at the Glen at 3 p.m. NASCAR on 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by O'Charlie's. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right.
Nice. Man, I am dangerous.
I feel the need for speed. Ow!
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program, live from our frigid studios here on 1025 The Game.
Oh, yeah, here. The
first stream, day back, Chase trying to kill me.
The stream just came back. Yeah, I mean, this is clearly, right? Like, this is clearly a murder. This is attempted murder by Chase McCabe. This is the coldest thing I've ever felt in here.
It's unbelievable.
And that is saying something. I'm all zipped up here with this thing. A nice Top Gun.
Yeah, it was good.
It's there, Nick. It is a thematic here today. By the way, I recently saw the new Top Gun. You seen that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Including they got Val. They got Val Kilmer in there.
They
so,
did.
Yeah. So I am going to talk about not airplanes, but about airports, in particular the one that's just about a mile away from here. So first of all, I want to talk about the positive, okay, which is that Southwest just announced a crew base here. So you're talking about – so this will be a crew hub. It's already, you know, a Southwest hub, but a crew hub here, which will be 600 pilots, 700 flight attendants, according to this Sandy Mazza story in the Tennessean. So that's great. You're bringing in those jobs, and that's a makes sense, and that's a positive. So good job. Now, my question is, why the hell did you get rid of the cell phone lot? I mean, let me just tell you about my day the other day.
Okay.
And you know that I hate people who yell at people who are just trying to do their jobs, right? And yet I've also admitted times when I've done this. Well, here's another time I have to admit. So, got a friend coming in town, and the flight is delayed. So, you know, you're circling a little bit. In the past, you sit in the cell phone lot, you get a parking spot, and you just wait it out,
yep.
And then you go in there. Well, that's gone now. So, you try some strategies, like I kind of went to the left side of the departures and just kind of hang back. Like, no, there's no one around me. It wasn't a busy time, so it wasn't like all these people trying to get in there. Just kind of hang back. Can I just park here for a little bit? Okay, someone comes like, nap, get out. Okay, so circle around. Then I go back to one of the commuter lots, and there's like a little turn, little circle, so I kind of park there for a little bit. Yep, taxi start honking. Okay, I got to get out of there. Then I'm like, okay, this is the valet. The valet lane.
Yeah.
Okay? So I went into the valet lane and I put my my blinkers on. You know, the hazards.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, can I just hang here? I mean, like I'm way short of the actual entrance, then I'm to the left, and you know, it's like all you gotta do is go around me, but then of course people get right behind me.
Oh yeah.
And so I gotta get out of there. So then I come back around again, and I go to the right because I'm copycatting a car who's doing this. Go to the right, which is before the bus lane, but it's like they can still get in. Guy comes out, get out of there, gotta go. Go back through again. Then I just go. This time I go to the right side of arrivals.
Yep.
And you know, it's just kind of like puttering along, just trying to go slow, puttering. And it's like, at this point, I think I've been identified.
Yeah.
So, this guy just comes out like, Nick, get out. I'm like, you don't even know what I'm doing. You have no idea if I'm about to pick somebody up. So, finally, I think, is it sixth time through? Finally, my friend is on the way.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's like, okay, this is going to work. It's going to work out. Okay, what number? I'm at 10. You're at 7, whatever. This guy, it's an older guy, and he comes out and he starts barking at me, and I'm like, I'm picking up my friend.
Yeah.
What are you allowed to pick people up? I have to stop a car to pick someone up. Now, granted, I was probably a little bit loud, and finally, I'm like, there's my friend. Can I go get him? And he's like, stop your whining. And I'm like, stop your whining. And my friend's in the car. He's like, dude, you all right? Why are you yelling at that guy? I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have yelled stop your whining back to him, you know?
No,
I was really frustrated. It's just all of this can be fixed by having a cell phone lot.
No,
the airport should have a cell phone lot.
I think I've probably yelled at that guy, that specific person, probably 3 or 4 times.
Because, you know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah. I've probably yelled at them 3 or 4 times. What bothers me is when you're in the arrival lane, and I'm with you on the cell phone lot. I've gotten to the point now where, you know, I just kind of assume if I'm picking somebody up, I'm just going to have to make a few laps, and I'm cool with it. So I'll ease through, make a few laps, and hopefully by the time I get back around at some point, it lines up to where they're walking out and they've gotten their baggage and all these stuff. What bothers me is how selective some of these people are. Like, some people will pull over, and I swear to you, they'll be sitting there for 10 minutes, and nobody says a word to them. I mean, there's a sign clear as day that says you're supposed to stop, pick somebody up, but you're not supposed to loiter there.
Sure.
And I swear to you, there are some people that are there for 10 minutes, and nobody says a word to them, just parked and stopped having full-on conversations on the sidewalk, catching up, hugging each other, all those things, which, fine, do whatever you want, but get in the car.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line of people around you. So it bothers me when they let that go unchecked. And then you're 15 seconds into your stop, and you're pulling over, and they're yelling at you. It's like, well, do you see this person back here who I know has been here for 10 minutes? You don't say anything? So, yes, I've yelled at that same person for this same incident.
Yeah, and
we need to go collectively apologize as a show to this man.
I guess so. but he was kind of mean. Brandy says they didn't get rid of the cell phone lot, they just moved it. Where? There's no sign for a cell phone lot. Where is the cell phone lot, Brandy? You tell me where it is. And tell me why they don't tell you that there's a new cell phone lot. Dennis says people are parking on Donaldson Pike and just hanging out there. So
I have seen people do that.
Yeah. I mean, now someone did mention, I did not know this, and this is a fair point. Oh, Kevin says getting rid of the cell phone lot, worst decision since trading A.J. Brown in Nashville. That's pretty good. Someone says you can go, oh, okay, parking garages don't charge for less than 15. Yeah, I guess you could do the garage thing.
Problem is I'm never there for less than 15.
Right, yeah. I mean, that you could chew up 15 doing that.
You could.
I guess. Then you could leave and just go do another 15, I guess. But even with that, like, a lot of times you have to go up to, like, the fifth floor to find a spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah, like Nate said, like, the gas, I mean, I use like a quarter tank of gas on this crap, you know?
Just making laps. It's like it's a NASCAR race out there.
It just doesn't, I don't understand the decision. Or again, if they moved it, I don't understand. Okay, Liam says it's so far away now, it's ridiculous. You know what? If I knew that, then I would have, you know, then I would have gone and, okay, fine, live with it. But like, there's no, someone says a mile or two away from the airport. So it's, what is it, like an off-site parking thing? I mean, I can go to Arby's. You can go to Arby's?
You go to the station parking lot. Well, just sit here.
That's the funny thing. Like, actually, going to Chicago, I left my car here this week. Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
But then, you know, you still have a $20 Uber ride for here from a mile away. Okay, Murfreesboro Pike, 10 minutes away, says Phil. Yeah, great. New cell phone lot.
That's not much of a waiting lot.
Yeah, new cell phone lot. The Music City Center. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
The new cell phone lot's in Hendersonville. Great.
Come check out a Vols basketball game. Wait for your loved one. Sounds great.
Yeah, you know me. I don't like being around a ton of people anyway. But when I get in that airport pickup line and I'm trying to pull over to the side and there's somebody that's there, basically just having a family reunion on the sidewalk, it drives me nuts. Get in the car. Hug your people later. You can hug them in the car. Hug them when you get to where you're going.
I'm fine with, like, the quick, here's the bag, quick hug. But it's like, oh, you look so great.
Yeah, catching up on life right there on the sidewalk. Move along.
Yeah. All right. We're unified on this.
615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nick Suss from the Tennessean, who covers the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all things Titans with him as they prepare to take on the Minnesota Vikings this week in joint practices and in the preseason game coming up on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.